Hello, Brad here. Just to say we're super proud that the Friday 5pm podcast is sponsored by the Malt Miller, the UK's best home brew store.
We use the Malt Miller for all of our homebrew experiments, as well as tapping them up for advice and binging on their awesome YouTube channel all the time.
That's why whenever we release a homebrew video, we put a recipe kit live on the Malt Miller, so you can brew with the exact same amazing ingredients that we did. The same ingredients used by pro brewers.
So alongside the Malt Miller's nitro-flushed hops, cold-stored yeast and milled-to-order malts, you can pick up recipe kits for our 5 Points Best Bitter, Russian River West Coast IPA, and now the fastest beer in the world, a hazy session IPA that goes from grain to glass in less than 48 hours.
Sign up to their newsletter at tinyurl.com/Malt Miller to get 5% off your first order. With the Malt Miller's amazing customer service and Johnny's 48-hour recipe, you could order the ingredients on a Monday and be drinking the beer by the weekend.
Speaking of which, it's Friday.
It's 5pm.
So enjoy this week's Friday 5pm podcast. Happy Friday, Beer Geeks. You'll be delighted to know there are two of us for this week's Friday 5pm. How was Amsterdam, Bradders?
Oh, the best smoking a pancake of my life. Kind of, yeah, we did. It was great, man. Like, if anyone's following world COVID news right now, midway through my trip, the Netherlands went into a sort of semi lockdown, so that meant that they shut all of the bars at 8 p.m. Which kind of put
that's when Brad's just getting started.
I know, right? But put a bit of a damper on the proceedings a little bit. Although I found a loophole in that everything. Entertainment wise, so we're talking restaurants, bars, pubs had to shut at 8 p.m., but cinemas were allowed to stay open all night. So, one of my sort of other loves, other than beer, is cinema and film. So, I found the most amazing Art Nouveau cinema that literally looks like it's the building in Ghostbusters. It's incredible, weird, spooky building, really psychedelic interiors in it, and the most luxurious sofas that you sit on in there. And it was amazing. Went to watch a David Lynch film with my girlfriend, who I don't think has really watched a lot of David Lynch films. So she was finding it hilarious and bonkers. So yeah, it was great, man. I had a great time over there. Some amazing beer as well, actually.
Yeah, where did you go?
I went to, outside of Amsterdam, I went to a little town called Haarlem, which was very sort of bougie, quite sort of well-off seeming. They had this amazing brewery in almost a cathedral, like a huge church, which was called Joppen. And some great beers, man, like some really good heavy stuff. Some sort of Belgium style stuff I was drinking, some Saisons. Just spent a whole evening in there in this amazing space. And they do pub snacks really well over there as well. So I was really enjoying all these different croquettes, bitterballen, Dutch cheeses with mustard. You have them with like full grain mustard, you just dip it in
the sweet mustards that they have in Belgium.
So good.
And Holland, yeah,
they just really, it all just complemented the beer so well. It was just very enjoyable. All of the food was very, very beige but very enjoyable.
and you went to my favorite bar in Amsterdam, Aaron's Nest.
Yeah, I went to Aaron's Nest. Yeah, Prof Lokaal, Aaron's Nest, your top tip, which I thought was great. We actually drank some Jenever in there. I'm not sure how you say that, but it's their gin that's got all kinds of crazy things going on. We asked the barman, very smartly dressed in there as well. They've got a kind of, I think he might have had a tie on. They definitely wear a little kind of waistcoat, all of the bar staff. And we asked what his favourite was. And he brought out this stuff that was absolutely fire. When I say fire, I'm not saying that like from a sort of cool American, it's fire kind of perspective.
Oh,
I'm talking
burned.
About it burned me. It absolutely burned me. It tasted like rocket fuel. And it was very sort of smoky, like a whiskey. Not particularly peaty, but like a whiskey is all I can describe it, and it absolutely blew my head off. My girlfriend loves whiskey, so she was loving it. But yeah, it was really interesting, and I went to the Wilderman tasting room, which I think that was probably my favorite place, just because it was so beautiful, and the people in there were just super nice. Like I found it hard to work out who was a local and a regular and who was actually serving the beer, because everyone was just like super family friendly kind of vibes. And just a beautiful little place. So yeah, Amsterdam, great for drinking. I was kind of not surprised, because I love Amsterdam, but I haven't been there in a few years. And I mean, obviously all these places I'm talking about have been there a long time, but it's just refreshing to sort of, you know, have a kind of beery perspective on a place that, you know, previously I might not have been having loads of craft beer there, or it might not have been such a big thing there. So it was super nice.
Well, I'm glad you had fun and found a loophole.
That's it.
So yeah, while you've been having fun in Amsterdam, I've been having fun finishing off the studio. Yeah. So I'm very happy to report that I am recording this in the Craft Beer Channel studio. I have in front of me a camera set up so that I can record at the desk real easy, and sound dampening on the walls. And then behind me, I've got our Christmas beer, which we'll talk about later, blipping away. You might be able to hear it. I was hoping it would blip just as I said that. And yeah, so everything else is moved in except for the fridge, which will be for cans and for the beers. So we might make it into a keezer, which is a keg freezer, but a fridge. So I'm currently scouring Facebook Marketplace for cheap fridges that I won't feel bad drilling into. But yeah, we're all moved in, which is dead exciting.
Pretty exciting, mate. Yeah, good stuff.
And there'll be a video of the building process, and then maybe a brew tacked onto that. I haven't quite decided yet. Coming out in January, so that's when we're planning to put that live and show you exactly what we've been up to for. I mean, it's a 3 or 4 month build, really, all told. Once I started digging the base, so it's been quite the adventure. It's not quite going to be on the scale of the YouTube videos I'm addicted to watching, where those crazy people build like underground swimming pools and stuff out of that weird cement like ground thing. We've talked about this on the podcast before, and I'm not explaining it very well, but that's what I'm going to aim for, just the sped up process so it looks like it all happened in 5 minutes.
I'd like it if you did build a cellar underneath it, you dug it out like a crazy man. just with hand, like just with a little hand tool like those guys as well, like literally like a spoon type thing.
With the amount of time I spent just leveling the ground,
yeah,
there's no way I'm digging into that.
Oh, come on. It's not like you're busy or anything right now.
we'll get into that as well. But yeah, so, I mean, the studio is going to be sort of the beating heart of Craft Beer Channel, certainly of the homebrew stuff. So I'm still tweaking that to get the homebrewing experience perfect. So I think quite a lot of the video is going to be setting up the perfect homebrew setup, which I haven't quite nailed yet. At the moment, my HLT is far too far away from the grandfather, so I need to work out a way to get around that. That's the next issue,
right?
But I think I've got an idea. I think I'm gonna have to build a makeshift high table that will go over the top of the glycol chiller and have the HLT on it. It's all very confusing. But it'll all make sense in January. And yeah, that was my week. Otherwise, I haven't done anything. Oh, I'll tell you what I did do this week. I purchased some of the new Dipper from Queer Brewing Project. So Saturday is a day of remembrance for people who have lost their trans people who have lost their lives as a result of it's tyranny, really. What they face every day. And so I've bought some beers to celebrate and to mark that occasion. And nice. I think you all should too, so I'll put a link in the descriptions box. It's a Citra Simcoe double IPA. I mean, you don't even need the wonderful cause to justify buying that. So that's the other thing I did this week.
Great stuff.
Yeah, great stuff. So shall we talk about this week's video, which was also great stuff?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was great stuff, wasn't it? I mean, it's stuff that I like. I certainly sort of spent a long time scouring the internet and, you know, had a bit of a heart to heart with myself about what really does make a good beer gadget. And, you know, like I've got so many things on my list that I want to experiment with. Sorry, I should have said it's a lowbrow episode. So it's tech cheats for beer geeks. But this week we're looking at the best beer gadget gifts this Christmas, the gifting season. And I kind of really wanted to drill down into stuff that is, that has longevity, that, you know, really you're going to use, not, you know, things that are, appear cool and, or they're funny or they're, you know, a silly sort of throwaway gift. I want stuff that you're going to use daily, and you're going to make it part of your beer routine. So hopefully those are the things that I managed to weedle out of the interwebs. I think you did a great job.
I mean, I knew three of the gadgets existed already, but the koozie is just,
it's good, right?
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
I've already purchased myself one.
Have you?
Straight nice. After, because I was like, what color did you go for? Super cool. I've gone for the stainless. I think the one that you had, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Nice.
But yeah, it's something, you know, I don't always pour my beer into a glass. Sometimes there's something really nice just drinking straight from a can. And when you drink from a can, you're going to warm it up much quicker with warm hands. So that koozie is just unbelievable. I think the sort of the neoprene ones are made to stop your hand warming the beer, whereas that one takes it a step further and stops anything warming it. And that 1 degree that it went up in an hour is just unbelievable.
Yeah, man, we kind of didn't even, with some of the sort of features of that hit the editing floor, editing room floor even, in that, you know, that top, the black top on it, you can twist that off, and it's a really, really great little stainless steel cup that you can, you know, you can drink your beer, you can drink your soda, drink your water out of a stream in it, whatever you want to drink, maybe don't drink water out of a stream in it. But it's a very versatile thing. So it's beyond a beer koozie. You know, it's obviously got the 3-in-1 beer, sorry, the 3-in-1 bottle opener, can opener, bottle cap twister built into the bottom of it. But also, like I say, it's a really nice drinking vessel as well.
I really like the twisty thing, because any time I've ever used a twisty cap bottle, you rip your hands to shreds. I don't get how it's an acceptable method for opening beer.
I think it's, from what I'm understanding, it's just like really sort of like a manly men kind of vibe, right? Where they just sort of manly twist men. It off with their eyeball and all this sort of stuff. They'll, like, you know, wherever on their body, they'll do sort of some mad trick to twist it. Maybe we just haven't got the knack because we've not grown up.
Isn't that all nonsense? Isn't it? That's just a joke. They've already loosened it, and then they claim they're doing it with their eyeballs.
Don't know, mate.
I don't think they're actually doing it with their eyeballs.
I don't know. I went for an eye test yesterday, so I'm definitely not putting anything near my eyeballs.
You got delicate eyeballs.
Yeah. As always, yeah. After running into a tree at Jim's 40th birthday party, fucking hell, that has impacted my life significantly from that point, in the peepers perspective. Yeah,
I'll always remember you sat by the campfire with frozen peas on your face at about 6 in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast, but
we have.
Right, okay. I mean, like, literally,
I think we had to put a trigger warning on, because it is quite disgusting what happened.
It was the most pain I've ever been in my life. I'm lucky that my eye still works. Like, I had to go to Moorfields. Everybody thought I was just being, you know, dramatic or whatever, but my eye was seriously fucked, and it took me a long time to recover from that. But yeah, it managed to heal, which was awesome. I think I might be like a sort of Terminator. I just sort of re-heal after...
Bradley, I love you, but you are far from a Terminator. Should we get back to the video?
Hey.
We've got lots of comments to read through.
Yeah, go on then.
Do you want to go first, or shall I?
I quite like the comment from Pouchy too, because he basically sounded like he bought everything. He said, well, I've got myself a Hermetus now, laughy face. The draft top could be useful for soft drinks on a picnic, as well as I always worry about wasps getting in cans, etc., and not being able to see them. And I'm highly tempted by the cooler as well, just so I don't have to neck beer as it's getting warm. So basically, he's buying three out of the four products.
Yeah, it feels like he's talked himself into all of them there, hasn't he?
Yeah. Pouchy, I think you might have a slight impulse control problem if you buy all of those things. Although I can highly recommend buying all three of those things because they're awesome.
Yep. We on other uses for these products, we had a great comment from Crew Wolf. He said, some great gifts there in the video. I think the Hermetist could be a real winner here. Even for the better half, her and her mates out take these to stop their bottles getting tampered with.
Yeah,
which isn't
a
use I'd considered. I think that's a brilliant idea.
That is a brilliant idea, isn't it, as well? And also, imagine if you pop your Hermetus on your, you know, I don't know what the better half might be drinking, but, you know, a wicked WKD Blue, or maybe it is a cloud water, something in a bottle, and she goes having a little dance on the dance floor. She puts the Hermetus on. She ain't going to get no spillage.
Yeah, she's not going to spill a drop.
No spillage. But then when she comes to take it off, it's going to explode, right? It's going to be...
Well, if you've drunk enough of it, they won't explode.
Yeah.
But if you haven't drunk enough of it, if it's still in the neck, it probably will.
Super soaker vibe.
Yeah. So be careful out there on the dance floor, people.
But I do like that. I think that's... I saw that one and I thought, that's actually quite a genius thing. And does it... I don't actually know because I've never tried. Does it fit on a wine bowl?
No, so there have been a couple of comments that, like, the one issue with the Hermetus is that it doesn't actually fit on the wide mouth bottles,
the 750,
which is really annoying because about half of the 750s in beer are. So that's the only criticism I have of the Hermetus. I did actually years ago, I wrote to them and said that.
Yeah,
I said, like, you should release a wider one. I think just because they've forgotten that, or they didn't know that beer comes with a wider mouth, they just thought, you know, this isn't for wine. With wine, you want to pull that oxygen out. So they're like, so this isn't for wine. But they've forgotten that beer comes in a wider mouth as well. So, yeah, if they could change one thing, it would be to release a wider version for wide mouths.
Yeah, agreed. I had a comment from David Ellis said, oh, my God, the future is here. Truly is tomorrow's world of beer. And I need a Hermetus, don't we all? And
I think tomorrow's world of beer is slightly overselling what we achieved with that video, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, that was it. Well, there wasn't really any tech in there. They were all pretty analog things. Nothing had any batteries in it. Nothing was sort of agitating or doing anything interesting to the beer from a tech perspective. Hmm. But they're all certainly good lumps of metal and plastic. Stephen Law also said Brad does QVC, which a couple of my friends said as well. They were like, oh, you should be on QVC. I guess when we were recording, I was pretty hungover. We'd been out to the Dog and Bell the night previous because you'd been staying at mine. And I was feeling a little bit rough, but I think sort of got away with it on camera. And I didn't really clock that I was being quite QVC about sort of selling stuff. But yeah, I enjoyed that. And, you know, someone else said I could be a potential hair model if craft.
Yeah, that
beer.
Was Father Earth 93. I flagged that one.
Sorry. Go on, Johnny. Do you want to?
No. I want you to read it.
I can't remember. I don't know where it is. I haven't got it, but I just remembered it.
He said, if the Craft Beer Channel would ever cease to exist, you could always consider a career in hair modelling, Brad.
Oh, great stuff. I mean, thank you, Father Earth. You sound like you've got an excellent crop of hair if you're called Father Earth as well. yeah, I like it. I like it.
I've got another comment, one from Ken Stewart, which was something, a technical question about the draft top. He said, doesn't a lot of aroma come from pouring the beer out and releasing CO2, even if you cut the top? Even if you cut open the top, I can't imagine it'd be anywhere close to pouring it. And Ken's right in that when you pour a beer, you get loads of aroma. But, you know, all of those compounds are super volatile. So you'll pour it, there'll be an explosion of aroma, then that aroma's gone. And then you're just as good as being in a can. So, yes, you're right. Pouring does release loads of aroma. But it's not like it's not like oxidation of wine. It's not breathing. It's not increasing the chance of those aromas getting out. Like, the aromas come out when you swirl it, when you crack the can, whatever it is. So just opening the top is perfectly legit. You're going to get all of the aromas, especially if you give it a swirl. So despite, and I don't love the draft top marketing. I think there's a phrase they were using called drink topless and nonsense like that. But from a technical perspective, it's a great product to get more aroma if you're drinking from a can. And yeah, you don't have to pour it to get that. This summer, I'm going to be hosting talks at the Manchester, Bristol and London Craft Beer Festivals, giving festival goers the chance to attend tutored tastings, rare beer pours, meet the brewers and even guided tours of the bars. These three festivals are the highlights of my events calendar, featuring some of the world's best breweries with delicious restaurant pop-ups, great music and a really welcoming party atmosphere. It's the third year I've been hosting the We Are Beer Tastings table, but for the first time, I'm delighted to offer all of our listeners, viewers and Patreons £5 off a ticket when you use the code CBC5. Just hit the link in the description to buy. See you there.
Yeah, the one thing I would say about the draft top was it was a little bit fiddly. You do need practice with it. So if you do unwrap it on Christmas Day, don't be disappointed. Don't be like, oh, fuck, just persist with it. And it's a really cool gadget. What do you think about the it plops the kind of the lid into the can? What's your thought thinking on that, Johnny?
It'd be nice if you pulled it out. Oh yeah, I was going to say there are some issues with that. Obviously, like you need to make sure that the top of your can is clean, but you should do that anyway because you're going to be putting your lips around it otherwise.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's
if
a big change.
If you're going to put your lips around it, you want to know it's clean, right? So I don't really think a lot of people consider that stuff could have been scurrying over the top of cans, or you know, other things could have been spilt on it or whatever. But, I mean, it's led a life before it's reached your lips. So.
Yeah. So giving it a little clean never hurts. In terms of the technique for the draft top, I very much have the knack now. The first thing you need to do is hold it from the bottom, not the side. Because if you hold it around the bottom where it's got real structural integrity, because otherwise you grip it too hard and as soon as it pops, you start squeezing beer out. So you need to hold it from the bottom. You need to twist with both the draft top and the can so they're going in opposite directions.
Right.
And if you do that, it'll be about 3/4 of a turn and it'll come off real neat.
Nice.
But it is, it is a little bit of a knack.
Yeah, I just think it's such an innovative gadget. Like you kind of think like, why? Who thought of that was a problem? I remember years ago we had a beer where the whole lid peeled off. Do you remember that?
Yeah, the 360 cans. Yeah, Sly Fox started using them first so that they could sell their cans in a baseball stadium. I think it was.
That was super cool. I really enjoyed that. And I guess this gives the same similar sort of experience, but with anything you might want to drink. I mean, you could even do it with a Coca-Cola or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually the lip that you get with the draft top is more round than you get with the 360s, which still have a slightly sharp edge, which I think 360 cans aren't even legal in the States in the UK because of that sharp edge.
Yeah, I feel like if you fell forward or something and you hit your face with it, you could cut yourself bad.
Which does happen to drinkers, to be fair.
Oh, I mean, like, you know, getting pissed, walking along with a sort of sharp bit of metal in your mouth, not a great idea, really, is it? So,
Yeah. Right, so moving along, we haven't talked about the fact that we did our Christmas brew last week, Bradders.
Oh, we did. We did manage to squeeze it in. That was a stressful day, wasn't it?
yeah. So the concept for this video is, as you may know, the Grainfather who are our homebrew sponsor, have just released two new products, the G40 and the S40. The G40 is somewhere between the top end G70 and the G30, their flagship. So it's Wi-Fi connected, smart, beautifully made. And then the S40 is sort of the budget version. So still nicely made, but lacking loads of features, a bit closer to what the G30 was. But considerably cheaper. So we did a side-by-side and turned it into a competition, and we're both brewing, we won't spoil it, but we're both brewing a version of a Hefeweizen for Christmas. But yeah, learning two new pieces of equipment in one day and filming it was an adventure, to say the least.
In November when it gets dark at like 4 in the afternoon as well.
Yeah, we lost the light. So editing that's been pretty fun because you can just see the darkness is upon us.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was really good fun. And the G70 is an amazing bit of kit. I'm already planning my next brew. I'm going to try and squeeze in a beer for Christmas, just to have at home. But obviously, for the reasons that we'll get into at the end of this podcast, that might not happen. But yeah, so watch out for our Christmas brew video, which will be coming out in a couple of weeks. Shall we take a question?
Go on then.
So we've got a question from, I think, our most common questioner. And by common, sorry, I mean he asks a lot of questions.
A regular caller.
There you go. And that is the lovely Sean Brewer. So he's got a great question about craft.
Hi, Johnny and Brad. Sean Brewer, one of your patrons here. Just got a question regarding craft beer. Now, obviously, the term craft is often subjective. And what actually qualifies a brewery as craft is often up for debate. In your opinion, which is the largest craft brewery in the UK? I presume one which maintains its integrity and still is able to be called craft. Okay, loving the good work, guys. Cheers.
Cheers, Sean.
Cheers, Sean.
So it's one of those questions, you get these questions a lot in craft beer, where you ask a question that has a specific answer, but in doing so, you have to define craft, which is something we've never really attempted to do on the Craft Beer Channel, despite the name. We've always sort of gone like, it is what you want it to be. Is there a brewery that sort of immediately springs to mind for you?
Well, I mean, my gut reaction is just to go, well, it's probably BrewDog, isn't it? I don't think he said like about ethics there, but he said something about integrity. And I know that they are kind of maybe a little bit questionable on ethics and integrity in terms of they're not fully owned independently anymore. They've sold a bit of equity, haven't they? And obviously yep. They've had some kind of some accusations sort of thrown their way about sort of corporate culture and all this kind of stuff, which isn't very, very nice, isn't very craft. So, you know, I think I thought in terms of scale and ambition and size and all the rest of it, probably BrewDog. But, you know, for those reasons I've just highlighted, they're kind of a little bit muddied and they're in a grey area for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think BrewDog would certainly consider themselves the biggest craft brewery. But
yeah.
And I think certainly the quality of the beer that they make is probably still there. And the variety of the beer that they make means you could still call them craft. But in terms of their outlook and indeed the way they conduct themselves as a business, there's not a lot of craft credentials outside of the brew house. Mm. The first brewery that sprung to my mind, and when like I'm taking a really cliche definition of craft, so it would have to be like lots of different exciting styles, very high quality, fiercely sort of independent and ethical. And I was thinking maybe Thornbridge.
Thornbridge. Yeah. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
So they're around 40,000-45,000 hectolitres, which is still very small in the grand scheme of things and still much smaller than lots of sort of regional cask breweries. I'm going to put cask to one side to a little bit because I think that's probably not what we're trying to get at here, because otherwise it probably would be Fuller's or somebody like that. But St. Austell still, I think, could qualify as well because they make very, very modern beer and lots of different kinds of beer in their small batch brewery. Their small batch brewery is bigger than most breweries. So St. Austell, I think, could have a shout for being that as well.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely ones that have fallen by the wayside, right? So there's things like Camden and Beavertown that have sold themselves.
I mean, my definition of craft wouldn't.
Yeah,
I don't think it would mean you couldn't. That you had to
I know
be independent.
You're partial to a bit of Camden from time to time, aren't you? So,
I think their beer is absolutely brilliant.
In terms of volume, I think I did a quick look, and I think they have got, you know, Camden Hills is the biggest selling, air quotes, craft beer in the UK.
It can't have overtaken Punk, can it?
Yeah, it has. I think it has. I mean, what I was looking at was 2020, so it was a year out of date. But at that point, yeah, Punk had fallen to number two. And apparently, that's the first time that it's ever fallen off of the top spot since, you know, its inception, essentially. Well, not inception, but, you know, since it hit the top.
It's been at the top since.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Never been unthroned. But yeah, Hell's in terms of profitability and sheer volume, I think overtook it in 2020.
Good Lord. I mean, for an unpasteurized German-style lager, that's like authentically German-style lager, that's kind of mental.
I mean, I guess when you think about it, it is in the same way that punk is everywhere, like Hell's is also in all of the supermarkets and stuff. And I think they are pretty aggressive with their pricing.
Yeah, and I think also they'll be really benefiting. You know, you don't see punk IPA on draft anywhere except in Brewdog bars and Wetherspoons. So Camden Hell's is in where I live. It's in most pubs. So I think maybe the draft is really helping them there, even if Punk IPA is just this machine in supermarkets.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, I think that sort of, that says a lot that the two biggest ones are, you know, either totally sold out or kind of maybe partly equity funded. That they're able to, with that, all of that kind of might and money behind them, they're able to propel themselves to the top of the selling sort of charts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a better sort of symbol of how difficult it is to be a big independent brewer in this country than the fact that you've got to sell equity to have the reach and the range and the finances to do it. You know, I had a huge amount of respect for Brewdog in what they achieved up until that sale and up until we realized that they'd done it by basically being brutal to their employees. But I mean, there are breweries, you know, you look at the success of, say, you know, Timothy Taylor's, the fact that they've got to the size that they have, St. Austell with Tribute and Proper Job as well, these massive brands that are also huge, huge in supermarkets and stuff. Like, it is kind of possible to do it. And I just wish that more breweries would hold their nerve and keep growing and accept that it's going to take a while. Whereas, yeah, Brewdog and Camden wanted the world and they wanted it now. And it's to their detriment, even if the beer still tastes good from an ethical standpoint, they've compromised themselves completely.
Yeah. Who's the biggest in London in terms of like a brewery, you know, like a field of hectoliters?
They'll be duking out. It'll be Sandbrooks or Five Points.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, what's really interesting is, you know, until I think it was 5-6 years ago, just before the sale of Camden, 100% of the beer brewed in London was independent.
Yeah.
And now it's something like 5-8% of it.
Oh, God.
Because Fuller's, Camden, Beavertown all sold.
Yeah.
And that was the majority of the fucking volume.
It's weird, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people's perspective, they won't have seen a change. They won't be aware of that change. And they'll just think, you know, independent is kind of ruling. But it's kind of a little bit of a, not a smokescreen, but, you know, we think that craft means independent, but it doesn't necessarily at all.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sure most people would still be baffled if we said that Brewdog was partly owned by the people that own Pop Chips. Fuller's was owned by Asahi, and Camden and Beavertown are owned by the biggest conglomerates. It's a weird world. But let's not go too far down that rabbit hole. We've come to the end of the podcast, and all that's left to really say is that next week I'm having a child.
Yay.
So there's going to be a break in Friday 5 p.m. and in Craft Beer Channel content starting next week. So we've got one video that's coming out next week, and then there'll be a little break and we won't have any Friday 5 p.m.s. And Brad and I still need to work out exactly what content we're going to manage to do before Christmas. So definitely the Christmas brew will come out at some point, and hopefully we'll be able to do a Christmas live show. But I don't think there's going to be a recorded Christmas video this year. But it's all up in the air because it depends.
You've got
how
one, haven't
goes.
You, up your sleeve, which you recorded yesterday, right?
Yeah, so that's for next week.
Yeah, okay. But that is a Christmas-themed one.
It is a Christmas-themed video. That is very true. Yeah, that is what even is Christmas beer. So that's got a Christmas element to it for sure. And then, yeah, we'll just have to see what we can do and when. But we'll be back full force, we promise, very start of January. We'll hit the ground running. I've got some huge plans for next year.
Oh, yeah.
Go well beyond the studio, which will also be showing on the channel in January. So yeah, I guess this is almost a kind of goodbye for a little bit, but it'll be a couple of weeks and we'll be back. And if you don't hear from us or you miss the content that we do release, have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful rest of November.
Exactly, guys. We love you out there, and we wouldn't do what we do without you. If you kind of really miss us, why don't you join our Patreon? Because we're on there. If Johnny's not on there, I check in, and there's hundreds of beer fans and beer geeks on there that are all talking every day, and it's a great little community, and I'm sure it'll be a bit of a stopgap in our sort of downtime. So yeah, join our Patreon and join our Discord forum and get involved.
The Bubble and Friday 5pm podcasts are brought to you by the nerds behind YouTube's Craft Beer Channel. You can watch over 400 mini documentaries at youtube.com/thecraftbeerchannel. And if you love what we do, support us via Patreon and get access to merchandise and our amazing Discord forum, a positive and welcoming space for everyone who loves beer, food and homebrewing. Love and beer.